Thanks for listening to The Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Dunkin' cold coffee can be brewed at home in your Keurig coffee maker with Dunkin' cold K-Cup pods. Just brew it hot over ice and enjoy flavor that's crafted to serve cold. The home with Dunkin' is where you want to be.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Thanks for listening to The Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Well, we got news, we got sports, we got a lot of commentary coming your way, so buckle up for that. Then Megyn Kelly's going to join me for a one-on-one in the second half. First, I'll tell you about Bet Online. Football's in full swing, people. Oh, yeah. You may not be able to go to the game this year, but you can still get in on all the action at Bet Online. So what game's coming up on Sunday? We got Rams, 49ers, we got Green Bay, Tampa Bay. That's be a pretty good game there. Cleveland at Pittsburgh, Baltimore at Philadelphia, Houston at Tennessee, Chicago at Carolina. A lot of good games to get in on. More options to wager than anywhere else online, from spreads to totals to props. Get in on season opening bonuses and wager on wins and division championship futures. Head to BetOnline today. Take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. Visit betonline.he, our exclusive partner at Podcast One. Don't forget promo code Podcast One for your sign-up bonus today. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
For just $25, you get wine and gifts. Ace's favorite stuff or products from ACS. Every single month, you get the drink you choose. It's hard to beat cool stuff and booze. Adam's Monthly Nut. Adam's Monthly Nut.
You heard Dick. It's time for a brand new month of Adam's Monthly Nut. This month includes a download of Basic Cable Commentary Presents the award-winning Showgirls, a migraine stick, perfect for your hangovers, an ACS logo pop, stick it on your phone, set it and forget it, a keto-friendly and Vinny-approved chipmunk cookie to stave off hunger without a burrito, and of course, a bottle of your choice. The $60 value is yours for only $25. Head to CorollaDrinks.com to get 1 month or keep the shipments coming. We're back inside the toolbox where the hits keep coming and coming. 2020 ain't getting any easier, but look at it this way. The Earth is 4.5 billion years old, and we managed to exist at the same time as Van Halen. Digging into that deeper, the guitarist's name is Eddie Van Halen. I mean, as far as cool names go, does it get any better? Sure, his name could have been Champ Whitecock, but he might have become a plumber. His name is Eddie Van Halen, and he could only have become the greatest guitarist of all time, right? Let's start calling custom vans Van Halens. Let's all change our middle names to Van. That way you're not Dick Johnson, you're Dick Van Johnson. Well, my friend, it is appropriate to play one from Diver Down. Yeah, he may be down, but he certainly left it all on the table. No stone unturned, no lick left unplayed. The great Edward Ludwig Van Halen on the toolbox.
Senorita, I'm in trouble again.
From Carolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, Megyn Kelly. With Gina Grad on news and Balt Bryan on sound effects. And now, wishing a happy coming out day to all the listeners who love Gina but hate him. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice. We're going to make it. Thanks for tuning in, and thanks for sharing. We love that about you. Right, Gina Grad?
That's right.
Handball Brian.
Hi, guy.
Hi, guy. I think of my Larry David Curb Your Enthusiasm movements or parts or beats or slots or stuff. And there's one, I may have brought it up, but it's been a while and I haven't really panned it out. But there's this thing. I picked up Sonny today as we taped the show. Sonny was out on his skateboard. And I said, well, I'll pick you up and we'll go watch football at the warehouse. And then I said, where are you? And he said, I'm up the corner of this and that. They have a Black Lives Matter sort of, I don't know, I wouldn't call it a rally. It's just every Sunday.
Demonstration.
Every Sunday from 10 or 11 to about 1 in the afternoon, they stand on the corner. And they stand on the corner of like Foothill and another major street, and they hold signs up, honk, if you're down with Black Lives Matter, and everyone who drives by honks. Now, one of the places everyone eats in my city is the Hill Street Cafe, which is closed on the indoor, but they pushed everything out to the parking lot.
Yeah.
So then everyone sits out in the parking lot and eats out in the parking lot. But every single car that drives by while you're outside eating is honking their horn as they're going past you, times every single fucking car. So you're out in the parking lot. They have this sort of back parking lot. It's right next to where the demonstration is. And it's about 8 feet away from the street. So if you're just sitting outside, there's just cars passing you honking their horns. I don't know if anyone's ever been like in front of a car where they've honked the horn or even standing next to a car. It's wildly annoying. Mm-hmm.
It's jarring.
It's shattering.
It's shattering. At least there's a context here. Like, you know it. So all the folks, mainly white, are holding signs up like Black Lives Matter, honk if you black, and every human being is driving by is honking their horn, and every fucking person who can't eat inside the restaurant is in the parking lot trying to drink a mimosa while cars are just honking next
and
to them the entire
time.
And you
dare not complain.
Well, that's where the Larry David part comes in.
Yeah.
Because like the thing is, like, down the street there's hardware stores and nail salons and nobody's outside. You know, like, you could go down to the Whole Foods. Nobody's sitting outside at the Whole Foods or the Sprouts or the Trader Joe's. Like, you literally just go down to the next intersection, and that's a gas station, and that's a supermarket, and that's a liquor store. But this is a group of people sitting outside, and they're all there on Sunday. It's all brunch time, and these guys are going from 11 to 1. So it's just pure fucking prime time brunch time, and everyone's just honking their horn. I've never seen a person get up and walk over there. I don't know how that would go.
By the way, I have Larry David news, but I can totally picture. Look, I'm down with the cause.
I'm down with the cause.
No one's more down with me.
I'm trying to
one block.
I want to enjoy my waffles. Like,
how about you flash high beams for Black Lives?
Yeah, here's $100. Like, I'm down. Just go. Speaking of being down with the cause, go down the fucking block. Just go down. Just go down 100 feet, and then you can do the same thing. But there's no, you know, there's a shoe repair place there that's closed on Sunday. Just stand in front of that place and do it.
There's a guitar center just down the road.
Right. Just do it there. Everyone is out in the parking lot, and everyone is just honking their horns. And if you go to have your brunch and you arrive at 11:30, you shall just sit and eat your entire meal with people honking their horn directly behind your head.
Conversation's not possible.
That's how it's going to work. Right. So I had it a few weeks ago. Sonny and I walked over there. My butt hit the seat, and like, people were honking, and they packed it up. Thankfully, I got there 7 minutes before their closed down time on the Black Lives Matter protest. So I sat, they honked, and it was immediately over. But I could not imagine spending my entire Sunday. Like, it's bad enough that we're sitting in a parking lot on this uneven terrain eating. Now everyone who drives past us is honking. And, of course, the people honk because they're just like, yeah, okay, there you go, right back at
you. The ambient smell of tar and tire rubber wafting through your waffles.
Oh, all right. Let's see. So I had something else to talk about.
And if you need a second to think about that, I saw a structure under an overpass that took shit to a new level.
Yeah,
and I've been waiting
Chris
for
showed
three
me.
Days to show you this picture.
Yes, I want to know about this.
I want to know about this. I want you to explain this to me.
I see a pallet.
Okay, let me just tell you where it is for any locals. I was coming from, the Larchmont area back to the valley. This is the big overpass on Cahuenga. So it's the 101 that I'm underneath right now, going up Cahuenga. And thank God there's a light right there because I said, I got to get a better look at this thing. What am I looking at?
Well,
it's a tiny house.
Whatever the house is, I don't know about the structure, but it's a summer. It's a lot of vibrant pastel colors.
Yeah, they summer under the 101.
There's a lot of turquoise and magentas and pinks, and it's very vibrant. It's a very, it's a very summery look. The guy sitting up top.
The pilot?
Yes. If you think about it, looks like the guy's got – So when I moved in my first apartment, my first sleeping arrangement was on the floor on a futon with Donnie. I had a roommate and we had one futon and we both shared it on the floor. Oh. Later on, Donnie moved out and my buddy Chris moved in, and Chris had the bunk bed from our childhood, from when he was a kid, and the bunk bed was a bunk bed, but it wasn't. One was perpendicular and the other one was parallel. It made a 90. It didn't go the same direction. So it had, and the upper had like the fence on it.
Slat.
Yeah. So this looks like the top half of a bunk bed with what looks like some kind of slide going down and a crow's nest up top with a little.
Is that a gargoyle on the front like you see on like the, the New York Public Library?
There's a bunch of shoes hanging from the front.
It's got an element of American Ninja Warrior kind of thing to it. Yeah. Like you better get some rosin and some talc on your hands or you're not going to be able to make it into this guy's upper bunk. But there's now. We're now at the point where there's just building going on. They're just they're physically building. Like, if you go down to certain parts of the valley, you go down to the Sun Valley, San Fernando Valley, whatever, as I've been, you head toward Jay Leno's shop out in that sort of end of the valley where the Burbank Airport is. They now have mobile homes with awnings and plywood, and like people are just laying down roots.
Oh, they're settlements.
They're settlements. They're shanty town sort of settlements. They're building. It's not that they're living in the mobile home. The mobile home is maybe where they sleep, but outside of the mobile home, there's a tarp and an awning and a kiddie pool and like a yard. I mean, they're literally just laying roots down. I don't know if they bequeath it to their kids or they sell it off. I don't know how it works, but they're expanding. And it's kind of an interesting thing, which is like, think about homelessness, but really just think about anything. Like I always say, just sort of think about nature or humanity. So you sort of go, all right, what's the earliest version of homeless? I mean, what's a very 50s version of homeless? And now, bum, he's asleep on the park bench. You know what I mean? It's like, hobo. He's drinking his night train, and he's sleeping on the bench at the park, and the cop's going to roust him in the morning with his nightstick. Come on, get up, move on. You know, right? So you go, all right.
And the cop knows him by name, too.
Right. Yeah. So
Hobo Joe.
Hobo Joe. So the early versions of this are, hey, I wander around and King of the Road, the song, chronicles it nicely. I'm looking
for a charming scamp.
I'm looking for cigarette butts. I'm sleeping on the train. I'm sleeping in the park at night. Okay, fine. Well, then that goes unchecked. And you go, well, what then what happens after that? And well, what happens after that is, well, I'm going to sleep under the freeway overpass and I'm going to get myself a blanket and a bedroll and a pillow and a cardboard box. And I'll kind of make myself a little space there. And you go, okay, well, what happens after that? Well, tents start springing up. Like they have tents. Okay. So now tents spring up. You go, okay, well, what happens after that? Because it never stays the same and it never sort of goes away. It's not like, well, what happened to the homeless guy on the bench? He stopped doing it. He got sober and started a family and found Jesus Christ. That's not how it works. It's just, oh, there's another homeless guy. And now there's a few homeless guys. And now they have a little bit of a jamboree. So then the tent goes from a tent. Well, now he's got some OSB and some exterior plywood and he's leaned it up against a shopping cart. Now we're starting to get into physical structures, right? We're physically making things. And then that gives way to, well, why not an old camper van? We'll just park it in Venice and I can live, you know, the house to my right and to my left will be $4 million and I can just live for free in this camper van that's parked in front of that house with the scared family in it. So then that gives way to that. And then you start getting into, well, what if I got some screws and a gun?
Some scaffolding
and start, I mean, you're going to see stucco.
Got a permit.
You're going to see fucking stucco crews coming out there soon, like putting a skim coat and a brown coat and a color coat. Like
he's got a clipboard, though.
He's got a punch list. Yeah. Because what I'm saying is, does anything stop or does anything stay the same? No. Of course, when we were young, the notion of all you have to do is sort of go back to when you were 9 years old. The notion of somebody putting up a physical structure, like physically building a structure on a sidewalk underneath an overpass in the middle of Los Angeles would have been unthinkable. Like, first off, they wouldn't have got halfway into building it before the cops just rolled up and went, hey, man, we're taking it apart. And we're arresting you. You can't do this. Right. But so the notion of what they're doing would have been unthinkable. And now it's just, yeah, it just is.
Yeah,
it just is. So it shall continue. And if you don't, if it's unabated, then of course it just shall continue. Like whatever we're marveling at now, we'll marvel at more 10 years from now. It's going to keep going.
To a shocking degree, it'll continue. Chris and I were driving back from the airport, or right by the airport, 405 North, you know what I'm talking about? And like right there by like Manchester, La Tijera, that exit there. Like there's a huge embankment. I'm talking like 30, 40 feet. And at the top of the embankment is like a level space, and it's lined with tents. Obviously, you know, camping enthusiasts, but it's just lined. There's all along the freeway. Crazy.
Yeah. It'll go like nature goes. It'll go like ivy goes. Like you can trim ivy back, or you can pull ivy, or you can just step back and let it go. And it just goes. It'll whatever
it
building
flourishes.
Yeah, it's just whatever building. Like if you see ivy at the base of a 5-story building and it's 3 feet off the ground, you go, look at that ivy, it's 3 feet off the ground. It will go to the roof of the building. It shall just step back and do nothing for 4 years and it will do that. So we have this sort of thing where it's like, well, just step back and give the ivy its space.
And like you said, if you're visiting LA or you just need, you know, just a little getaway, don't you dare bother going to Venice anymore. Chris, just put up the thing you just showed me and with the response. Venice is Thunderdome. And somebody put, you should see the little house that was built under the 101 in Cahuenga. That homie has skills. Well, that's the picture I just showed you.
Wow.
And look at the encampment situation in Venice. I mean, when I was a teenager and we'd come visit LA, it was just, you wanted nothing more than to wear your cute little sundress and walk the Venice boardwalk.
Oh, the Venice Beach boardwalk. Fletch was there on skates.
Yeah, right. Buy some beaded necklaces, flirt with some of the dudes smoking weed. Now it's just, you wouldn't, no, a grown-up wouldn't walk that, let alone you wouldn't let your teenage daughter go there.
Yeah, it's funny. You were in Kansas. I was in L.A., and you probably got to Venice more than me. My parents are like, we can't make it. The VW Square Rack will vapor lock when we're going over the Santa Susana Pass.
Well, let me guess. If you went more than twice a year, you beat me, but I doubt it.
No way. All right. Let me hit Madison Reed. Mister, yeah, there you go. Working from home, good. Starting to notice you're getting a little gray going on those Zoom calls. Madison Reed. Now, there's Madison Reed, and the ladies love Madison Reed, and our own Gina Grad loves it, and Lynette loves it. But now there's Madison Reed Mister. It's a gray blending natural color for your hair and beard. You can look at the before and after shots. They look great. No shoe polish look. Maybe just want a little more pepper and a little less salt. That's all. Well, how about trying Madison Reed Mister? Makes it easy. You can do the color match. You can go online and get the right color. Put a little dollop. The kit comes with black rubber gloves. You put the little gloves on. You put a little dollop in. You work it through your hair. You put the activator through your hair as well. You wait 10 minutes. You rinse. You shampoo. And it is done. A little less salt and a little more pepper, and it looks better. Right, Dawson?
Go to MadisonReedMister.com. That's MadisonReedMister.com. And use code Adam10 for 10% off, plus free shipping on your first box. Again, that's code Adam10.
Shall we do a little news, Gina Grad?
Yes, sir.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gina Grad. Breaking viral. All those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gina Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Deep news with Gina Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
So SNL is back and they do have an audience. I can't remember if we went over this or not, but they actually have a paid audience.
Oh, by the way, I wanted to, speaking of all this building and all this junk going on everywhere, just sort of unabashed, unabated. I had a Bill Maher, a real-time clip that August sent it to me, but I was like, yes, he was interviewing Adam Schiff, who's a congressman from out here in this neck of the woods, and he was basically saying, as I've said, I tried to put solar in my house 12 years ago, and it was like, yeah, we're not really going to let you do that. And I thought, there's this weird thing that we have in California, which is like, we want to be innovative. We want solar. We want technology. We want all this stuff. But yet we have so many regulations that we don't let people do stuff. So, I mean, we're literally taking California's telling Elon Musk to move. Essentially, like, take all your innovation, get the fuck out of here, because we love innovation, but we also love regulation. And you can't really have innovation and tons of regulation at the same time, because innovation means, well, we don't know. We've not done this before. We're going to try it now. And if you do it with tons of regulation, then the innovation dries up. But so Mike sent me this, but here's Adam. And this is, it's not groundbreaking. It's just Bill Maher going, what the fuck? I'm trying to get solar going in my house.
Can I tell you something? I tried to do the right thing. I got solar panels on my roof. It's almost been 3 years. They're not turned on. Because when you get regular electricity, it goes to a pole. But then when you get panels, it has to go to a shed. I don't know why. I accept that. I could have bought the shed at Home Depot and put it in a day. It's been almost 3 years. I can't tell you how many inspections. We jumped through every hoop. It's just corruption.
This is exasperating.
It's exasperating. It's exasperating, but you created this. Like, don't do it. Don't pass any more of these regulations. Bill Maher wants solar in his house. I know exactly where he's coming from. It's like permits, and then you got to talk to this guy, and then that says you can't do this, and you have to do that. And he's a taxpayer. He just wants to put solar on his house. Could we facilitate it? Yes, Ryan.
You're 100% right. That's got to be a local regulation, because I hear from just from people that it's easier to do it in other states. Like, oh, I live in Arizona. It's totally easy to do it. So it can't be a federal, like, regulation. It's got to be some local, county, state, something, right?
Yes. California, in Los Angeles especially, we pride ourselves in passing laws. And every year we never deduct a law. We just add a regulation. We go, we should do this, and then we should do that. And then they just keep building up, and eventually it's stifling because Bill Maher can't get his solar going because it's been 3 years, and he's jumped through all the hoops and had all the inspectors. But for some reason, in California, we just want more of it. And I don't get it, but I would argue that there is no regulation in terms of building under overpasses on Cahuenga Boulevard. So maybe we should back it off. Maybe we should let Bill Maher have his solar panels and then use some of the money that we get from him and his permitting process to get rid of some of those structures on Cahuenga. That's
what was the disarming bullshit tap dance response? Oh, I agree with you.
Well, the thing that's...
He's not in charge of local laws, right? So like, he'll pass the buck. He'll be like, yeah, I mean, we should blah, blah, blah. It'll be a lot of passing the buck, I imagine.
No, yes. His thing is like, yeah, we got to get rid of, you know, we got to help. We got to fix this. Yeah. And it's like, right. It's like the politicians who've been in charge of the city for 50 years and the school system's failing. And they go, yeah, we got to fix that school. We got
to
fix
it. Really, like,
it's your, get around to it.
Right. It's your school. It's your district. Mm-hmm. You're in charge. Yeah, of course we do have to. I mean, this is what we love about sports. There would be no such thing as a coach in a professional football franchise who is perpetually 2-14 for the last, 51 years going, yeah, so we got to fix this thing. Like, they just fire his ass. Or someone yell at him, what do you mean you got to fix this thing? You're the coach. Why don't you fix this thing? Sorry, Gina, go ahead.
Speaking of which, the mayoral race for LA and the California gubernatorial race are both in 2022. It's going to be a bloodbath. I mean, Garcetti is completely ineffective. I can't imagine people are running against him.
It's weird. I mean, we'll see. I guess we have to kind of bottom out a little bit. We'll see how that.
There's more to go.
Yeah, I was going
to
say, what are we doing now?
Well, we do. California's kind of like, hey, we're California. We go Democrat. So whoever's running against the Democrat, we're not going to vote for him. We'll vote for the Democrat. Now, I don't know if there's going to be another Democrat that's going to look toward Garcetti, but Garcetti just seems like he would be a fantastic wet nurse or
masseur,
maybe
greeter,
greeter, but he doesn't feel like a guy who can run things. He's not doing a good job of running things.
Well, it wasn't that long ago that California had a Republican governor, Schwarzenegger. I mean, obviously that's a bit of an outlier because he was a celebrity, but that's not out of the question.
The more whenever I bring up Schwarzenegger, everyone says, oh, he wasn't really a Republican, and Democrats like, oh, he was a Republican. Like, so apparently nobody liked Schwarzenegger.
Yeah,
he wasn't a good governor.
I think because of his Hollywood roots, he probably was trying to please everyone and be popular. And think about what Schwarzenegger would have to go. So, like, the first thing you have to understand if you're going to be governor or mayor, it's like, If you're worried about being popular, fuck it. Get out. Like, if you're worried about what the LA Times is going to say about you or the New York Times, you're fucked. Like, just, you have to have a armadillo skin and go, I'm going to do what I'm going to do, because everyone's going to say horrible things about you. All right. Sorry, Gina. What were you talking about?
So just a little Snapple fact about how SNL is getting away with having an audience.
Oh, yeah.
They are paid. So, because nobody's allowed to have a regular old-fashioned live
day
studio
players.
Audience. Yeah, so you're basically paid as crew. Wow. And the first people who got their checks were very confused, on their way out. Like, what is this for? And I think they got like $150, for a standard day rate. So that's how they're getting around that. Maya Rudolph and Jim Carrey, of course, came back with more Harris and Biden on SNL over the weekend. Mike Pence's fly on the head incident took center stage, as I guess we sort of knew it would, with Jim Carrey doing a Biden impression of Jeff Goldblum. Here's a short clip of that. Being the fly.
It's a bit heady.
Yeah.
That's why Joe turned into a fly.
Yeah, but that doesn't explain why he sounds like Jeff Goldblum.
God created dinosaurs. Dinosaurs became Republican. Republicans created Trump. Trump destroys God.
Now he's gone full gold blue.
He even has the glasses.
Apartments.com. the most popular place to find a place. No, no, yes, yes, because life finds a way.
So that was part of the cold, or that was part of the show. And of course, you know, when it wasn't just about the stupid fly on Pence's head, it was about Kamala's line, which is probably already merch all over the place. It says, "Mr. Vice President, I'm speaking," which everybody loved during the vice presidential debate. So, of course, Maya Rudolph had to take that to another level. Here's a clip.
This is what they do, Susan. They avoid taking any responsibility.
We do not.
Mr. Vice President, I'm speaking. I'm speaking.
Well, I'm just
trying. Speaking.
Oh, but yes, but.
But I'm speaking. Mm. See, I'm speaking right now. Estoy hablando, Nevada, Arizona, some parts of Texas. I'm speaking.
I understand that. I understand.
I don't think you do.
Because
you're talking and I'm speaking.
Funny.
Yeah, so that was 12 minutes of the cold open.
I was early money on her. I was like, that is Kamala Harris. That is, she are the voice.
Like,
how many times would you reckon that a SNL cast member plays a celebrity or politician and really doesn't need to alter their voice at all? Like, even make an attempt. I mean, even from a cadence standpoint, she just is her. Like, that voice just sounds like her. She's just being her.
Because everyone that comes to mind, like Dana Carvey, is just a great impressionist. It's not naturally fitting anybody.
Or there would be Chevy Chase doing Gerald Ford, but he
bad example.
Well, he wouldn't even try. I mean, but the point is, he didn't sound like him. He just went, fuck it. I'm a 31-year-old Gerald Ford with a full head of hair.
Right.
So in a way, yes, it's a perfect example of him not trying, but he wasn't doing the voice.
He wasn't succeeding.
It didn't sound like him.
That's the homeless evolution you talked about, which it went from Chevy Chase not trying with Gerald Ford. The next iteration was Dan Aykroyd doing Jimmy Carter
with a mustache.
With an accent, but with a mustache, with a full mustache. He wasn't really trying.
I always... that had to be a weird meeting. Like, all right, Gerald Ford's the president of the United States, a cast member, you know, in 1973, and we're 72, we're doing the SNL, oh God, what year?
SNL started in 75.
75, must have been 76, I guess.
Yeah, because he took over, the election was 76.
Right, so 76, and they're going like, okay, who's going to play the president? Who's going to do Gerald Ford? And like Chevy Chase's hand went up, like, I'll handle it.
I think I know why they did to have Chevy Chase do it, because Chevy Chase did all the pratfalls, remember? He was famous for doing all his pratfalls, and Gerald Ford was clumsy, I guess. He bumped his head on something or whatever.
The beauty of our society is, if you're the president of the United States and you step out of Air Force One after a 13-hour flight to Beijing, and it's raining, and you slip a little on the first step wearing your wingtip shoes, that will be it.
That's you.
You will
That's
now be,
That's for life.
Yes, you will be Harpo Marx for the rest of your life. We just need footage of you doing one slip on one step in wingtips, and that'll be it. You'll be that guy. You'll be Dick Van Dyke walking into the living
the
room for the rest of your entire life. So it's so funny. It's like, Gerald Ford, that was the clumsy one. Like, I don't know. Was he?
A football player, wasn't he, at Michigan?
He was.
I don't think he was especially clumsy.
He was a standout. I think he was a center for some reason
in
Michigan. And
he played center, linebacker, and long snapper.
Long snapper, right? Look at
he's
a hero.
So
what are you talking
he's
about?
Such a klutz.
So, but anyway, she is dead nuts on Kamala or Kamala. Yeah. I'm
screwed up. Well, it's funny because that was one of the lines. She said, and Joe said to me, Kamala, you know, you got this. And I said, Joe, it's Kamala. He calls her Kamala.
It's the Andreas and the Andreas. Once we toggle back and forth 15 times, I'm now swimming a little bit. Yeah.
Bill Burr they're saying it's being reported that he really divided Twitter with his monologue, mocking everyone from white women, gays, everybody in between. He did a little stand up, you know, say 7 minutes opening. And he he referred to white women as bitch, as his bitches, while claiming they had somehow hijacked the woke movement, which was a very interesting run he did.
Did he say his bitches? I watched it. I think he's,
yeah, or our bitches, like, you know, like white people. Some found it to be offensive. Others found it to be refreshing. I have a clip of it. I cut it down to be much shorter. Here's a clip of him that seems to be circulating the most. Burr starts off talking about how white women completely hijacked the woke movement. It generals should study the way that they completely hijacked this, and it goes from there.
It's funny.
I got to tell you, the
funny.
Way
you can
white
pause
women
it for a second, but it's always funny because I always see. I didn't watch it, but I saw the first couple of minutes of it, first seconds of it. Comedians use a microphone, a handheld microphone, mm-hmm. like the Flying Willendas use a balance beam, a pole, you know, it's a thing they use, you know what I mean?
So it's like someone handed it to him when he got up on stage.
Right. So it's like they would say everyone else would just be lobbed up. You clip on a microphone, mm-hmm. clip the thing on. But comedians are like, no, I want this totem, this thing. Yeah. I need to physically feel this thing. Because when I'm working all this material out on stage at all the comedy clubs, mm-hmm. I'm holding this thing in my hand and it's part, I you know, it's not 80% of it, but it's part of it. Like I need this thing in my hand.
Otherwise it's a TED Talk.
Right, right. So it's funny. Yeah, he walked out and someone handed him a mic because you'll see the stand-ups. Mm-hmm. Sorry, go ahead.
I got to tell you, the way white women somehow hijack the woke movement, generals around the world should be analyzing this. Just to refresh your memory, the woke movement was supposed to be about people of color not getting opportunities, the at-bats that they deserved, finally making that happen. And it was about that for about 8 seconds. And then somehow, white women swung their Gucci-booted feet over the fence of oppression and stuck themselves at the front of the line. I don't know how they did it. I've never heard so much complaining in my life from white women. My leg is so hurt with my SUV and my heated seats. You have no idea what it's like to be me. Trash and white guys, the nerve. Where's the camera? The nerve of you white women.
Where's the camera?
Listen, I don't want to speak ill of my bitches here, okay? I don't. But let's go back in history here, okay? You guys stood by us toxic white males through centuries of our crimes against humanity. You rolled around in the blood muddy, and occasionally when you wanted to sneak off and hook up with a black dude, if you got caught, you said it wasn't consensual. Yeah, that's what you did. That's what you did. So why don't you shut up, sit down next to me, and take your talking to. Thank you.
That's funny. Yeah, that guy's good. We love Bill Burr. I got to watch that thing. I didn't watch the whole thing yet.
It wasn't his audience, so it didn't land probably as well as it would have one of his shows. But I thought it was really funny.
Also, people are so weird now that if you bring up a subject, they're so tentative. People are they're like, I don't know
afraid
if I want
is
to.
Is this, yeah.
I don't know if I want it on record as me laughing to this thing. Mm-hmm. So you bring this subject up, and people are sort of chasing it with their sort of politically correct mind. You know, I always think about that story of me sitting around at Pebble Beach at the Quail with Chris yep. Maxipata. Eating his caviar and whatnot,
yep.
sitting at the table and sitting with the guys with the loafers and the guy saying, you know, I had the Maserati 5300 or whatever. It was a convertible. I sold it for like 2.7, but now those things are worth 4.2 and I'm looking at another one. And I just said, this is what black people think white people talk about all day. And the chick at the table, as you guys know, was like, no, don't go there. And I was like,
okay.
I was like, I'm making
it.
A joke at our expense. I'm making fun of us. Like this is what black people think white people do all day. We sit around at the Quail and we eat caviar and we talk about $4 million Maseratis. And this woman was just like, okay, no, we heard you. That's enough. Like, she heard the word black people, and that was enough for her. Mm-hmm. She just went, fuck it.
No
I'm out.
Joke may follow.
Right, right. No,
well,
no joke.
Who was the comedian? I can't remember now. It was an Indian comic we had on the show shortly
after. Hi, how are you? Oh, no. Sorry. Different Indian?
Where he got his mic cut off in the middle of that college stand-up show.
Right, right.
Because he was talking about how hard it is to be gay.
Right.
You know, like, and the way he set the joke up, it was too third rail-y. They didn't even wait to hear the punchline.
Right. If you hear, it's like the Department of Homeland Security. Like you hear TNT, travel, duffel bag, and it's like we're flagging this person. Like I heard
right.
gay, Indian, black. I'm out. We're flagging it. We're flagging it because I heard these words.
Right.
Meanwhile, it's a comedian who's choosing those words.
And who's on your side?
Sorry, it was Nimish Patel.
Oh, okay.
As Chris remembers it. All right, let's bring it home, Gina Grad.
All right, I'm Gina Grad. Oh, can I just tell you really fast about Larry David?
Yes,
Larry David got secretly married over the weekend to his girlfriend, Ashley Underwood.
That.
And the only reason besides that you brought up Larry David, that I wanted to bring it up is in real life, Larry David did and said the most Larry David thing I wanted to tell you. He met her at, he was set
party.
Up by... Sacha Baron Cohen and Isla Fisher, he was at the same party that she was. And they had all this banter. They hit it off from the second they met. And he says, much to her surprise, I left before dessert. I was doing so well banter-wise, I didn't want to risk staying too long and blowing the good impression.
Right. That's so Seinfeld. And so Larry David.
Mazel tov to Larry.
Mazel tov to Larry. All right, bring it home, Gina Grad.
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news.
Gina Grad!
That was the news with Gina Grad.
Well, last but not least, Simply Safe. Most home security companies trap you with high prices, tricky contracts, lousy customer support. There's only one no-brainer, that is Simply Safe. Everything to protect your home, an arsenal of sensors and cameras for every room, window, and door, tailored specifically for your home, professional monitoring day and night. Ready to send police, fire, or medical professionals as well. Set it up in under an hour, just peel and stick. No technician, no drilling, no pulling wires required. No contract, pushy sales guys, hidden fees, or fine print. Starts at just $15 a month. U.S. News and World Report named it the best overall home security of 2020. It's Simply Safe, right, Dawson?
Head to simplysafe.com/Adam and get a free HD camera for our listeners. That's simplysafe.com/Adam to make sure they know our show sent you.
All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll come back with All Ball Sports with Jeff Cesario right after this.
It's time to break down the game film and look at the X's and O's, the KOs and the O-Nos from the world of sports. BetOnline presents All Balls, All Sports.
Let's dive into the BetOnline headlines. NFL Oakland beats Kansas City, so let's put the dynasty talk back into the meat smoker for another month or so. David Carr outplayed Pat Mahomes, or as my spell check likes to call him, Pat Mahomet. Raiders win 40-32. TDs for Carr.
I wasn't ready to call them Las Vegas. Somebody said it when I was watching, like, Vegas is up. Vegas is always up.
Just calling them
always wins.
They're the Raiders. They're the Raiders. They moved around too much. They should just be the Raiders at this
point. I'm sticking
at this
point. Anytime it's KC in them, it's got to be Oakland KC. That goes back 50 years.
Yeah,
so.
Even I know that.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly.
That. Yeah.
It's Cars. Go ahead.
They look sort of mortal at KC. They didn't do a whole lot offensively last week. They didn't do as much this week. They sort of look mortal, I guess would be the answer. But that's why we love football, because, everyone starts looking kind of mortal, and then we get into the playoffs, and then we're going to figure it out.
David Carr's first win over the Chiefs, he'd lost six in a row by an average of 17 points.
Wow.
And the Chiefs scored 32?
Chiefs scored 32.
Yeah, it's nothing to sniff at. Their defense was the real problem.
Yeah,
the Raiders
right.
did whatever they want.
Yeah.
Yeah, they really did. And they had this kid, Henry Ruggs, the Raiders did, who's
secret weapon.
Yeah, he's like faster than 80% of your cars. He's crazy fast. They just got him back. and he just stretched the field for Las Vegas.
I got to say, I had a thought, which was Dak Shepard had a horrible injury, and it's, you know, real compound-y, fracture-y kind of
stuff.
Dak
Prescott. Did Dak Shepard also have a horrible injury?
Dak Shepard's another human being. Dax Shepard's a human being. Dak Prescott's another human being. And both of them have had horrible injuries over the last few weeks.
That's true. Let's
be honest. But Prescott had a very bad injury, and it was I wouldn't bother looking at it. It's graphic, and it's not the kind of thing you want to see. And they put him in the inflatable cast, and they put him on the cart, and they wheeled him off the off the stadium floor. And there was some crowd there. Dallas had some crowd, enough crowd. Yeah. It may have been 25% full. It wasn't.
Yeah, I think that was the.
It wasn't 10% full. It had, you know, there were several thousand people there. What was, Chris, what was the Cowboys? Is it 30%? Is it 25%? But the point is this. When they were wheeling him off, he had a season-ending injury and possibly a career-ending injury. I doubt it, but possibly. His foot was broken many times over and facing the wrong direction. And
he had a compound fracture or dislocated ankle.
It was very bad. And they put him on that cart, and he had the towel, and he was tearing up, and the players were all kind of giving him condolences because it's the end of his season and possibly career. It's a long way back from that kind of injury. And there was enough crowd there that he was kind of doing the fist pump as they were pulling him into the port, and they were there. Like, they were cheering. Like, I'm glad there was somebody there. Like, that was the end of this guy's season. It could have been the end of his career, and there were tears welling up, and he was kind of giving the fist pump, and I'm glad that wasn't Los Angeles, and there was just, you know, music piped in and a jumbotron while this guy's giving the fist on his way out the thing. You know what it was? Was it 25, 30%?
Yeah, it's a little more than 30%.
A little more than 30%. Wow. Yeah, I mean, 30% of a stadium that size is still
20,000 people.
25,000 people, the place like that. Like, fine, there's 25,000 people. And it was a moment. Like, he was having a real moment. He knew the gravity of the situation. He knew this wasn't I'll ice it down and be back in the fourth quarter. He knew this was it for the career, for the season. And you could see it on his face. You could see that he knew what was going on. And 25,000 in attendance today. And the crowd was going nuts for him. And he was doing like the fist pump, like a kind of gladiator, I shall return kind of MacArthur thing. And I'm glad they were there. And I'm glad for him they were there. Sorry, go ahead, Jeff.
Ironically enough, on the same day, Alex Smith came back from a
even
a more gruesome injury. That was the one they almost amputated his leg.
Right.
Yeah, Smith got in a loss to
this is 2 years ago.
To the Rams.
He played for the first time today since.
Jesus. He almost thought he was going to lose the leg. He had 17 operations and a bad infection. That's when they thought they might have to amputate.
Oh my
But he came back and he played today. And double guts, he plays for the Washington football team, which is taking your life into your own hands. So I can't believe he stepped on a field with that offensive line. That's incredible.
I just saw like a behind the lines, Shep. Was it Shep? Who does those things? I will think about it.
Outside the lines.
Well, Jeremy Shapp. Jeremy Shapp? I think I know that guy. Maybe it's Jeremy Shapp. It's just what a douche Dan Schneider is of the Redskins or the former Redskins, and everyone's suing him, and it's horrible, and it's a fucking disaster. Yeah, Jeremy Shapp. Yeah, and what a total and utter clusterfuck that the former Washington Redskins organization is since he took over, since Dan Schneider took over.
Yeah, they're a mess. And
you know, it's an interesting gauge for a football organization that's a mess, when you let a whole bevy of assistant coaches go. you know, these guys went on to be the head coach on other teams and gone on to have great careers. And at some point you had them when they were 36 and you let them go. You know what I mean? That's
These great minds are under your roof, but they got away.
Right. And they may not even got away. You may have given them away. You know, like you just didn't have that. You didn't understand what you had when you had it. Sorry.
Yeah, you had a brain fart. And speaking of, ever walk into a room and forgot why you were there? Thursday night, at the end of the Bucks 1-point loss to the Bears, Tom Brady forgot that it was fourth down.
Well,
and then, like
most
old guys, he blamed everybody else.
I don't want to turn this about race, but the white quarterback has the athleticism, but the white quarterback just doesn't have the mind to play the game. You know what I mean? And Brady's he's a thoroughbred.
Otherworldly skills, athletic skills.
Right, but obviously doesn't have the temperament to manage the game.
Well, hothead.
It's such a gamble to put a guy like that behind center.
He when he played for Florida State, he was a flanker. They should have left him there. He's a skills guy. He's a wheels guy.
It's been said so many times, $1 million arm. 10-cent
head.
We have
that's
the footage
Brady.
If you want to see the meltdown. Yeah. It's a pretty funny meltdown. He just loses it.
I like now that there's something to throw, which is a tablet. He throws his tablet. You know, guys used to throw clipboards or headsets or whatever, but he's throwing a tablet now.
Yeah, here we go. This is classic. This is almost my old man level.
19-20. Throws a, pretty low percentage ball for fourth down, but he thinks it's third down.
DeAndre Houston Carson was there for Chicago.
There you go. All right, let me hit Bet Online here. Football's in full swing. You want to get in? Well, you can't get in on the games this year, but you still can get in on the action if you like at Bet Online. Rams at 49ers, Brian, coming up. That's going to be a good game.
Good game for you.
Green Bay at Tampa. Yeah, 49ers. And, well, they're missing their quarterback. Cleveland at Pittsburgh, Baltimore at Philly, and Houston at Tennessee, Chicago, California. At California. The California Chargers?
Well, California. You have a couple of choices, don't you?
Yeah. Oh, sorry.
Oh, Carolina.
No, Carolina. I screwed that up. Sorry. That's me. Okay, they're Carolina. Screwed that up.
That's your Tom Brady moment.
Yeah, I had a Tom Brady
had
senior moment.
Four fingers.
And white guys can't podcast. What else can I say? More options to wager than anywhere online, from spreads to totals to props, to get in on season opening bonuses and wager on wins and division championship futures as well. Head to BetOnline today. Take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. Visit betonline.ag, our exclusive partner at Podcast One. Use the promo code Podcast One for your sign-up bonus today. Sorry, Jeff, what else?
Well, NBA Lakers just won their 17th championship overall, their 12th in L.A., 106-93 over the Miami Heat. They win it in six games. LeBron probably headed for his fourth finals MVP at this point. I can't imagine who else they're going to give it to.
As we record this just happened in like the last 60 seconds, right?
Yes.
Yes. This happened in the last 10 seconds.
I was going to say, I haven't even gotten an alert yet.
I was so preoccupied about it that I missed the entire Dan Snyder conversation.
I wonder if LA is going to go out, if they're going to celebrate, if they're going to take to the streets.
Mean the city?
Where they're going to go?
I don't know, but we'll break curfew.
Light cars on fire, but wear masks.
Right. Yeah. All right. Well,
every other car.
Good for them in the bubble. Has LeBron James been in this bubble for 60 days?
Yeah.
Or 45 days or something?
Yeah. They all have.
Just physically hasn't left in 2 months.
No. No.
Wow.
Hence the weird Frederick Douglass beard or whatever he's working on.
Yes. Yeah. He's a Mennonite. Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. All right, Jeff, what do you got? You got a segment there?
Yeah. Let's check the Bet Online line from Bet Online. Oh, yeah. Monday Night Football. Chargers at the Saints. Saints currently favored by 7.5. Chargers at plus 275. May not be a bad bet. The Saints just suspended their best receiver, two-time All-Pro Michael Thomas, for punching teammate Chauncey Gardner-Johnson in the head, something to do with the hyphen in Gardner-Johnson's last name. That could move the line one way or another, so pay attention. Guy took a sucker punch and a kisser, and all we're worried about is if it's moving the line. That makes me laugh. That there is your Bet Online line. I'm Jeff Cesario for All Balls, All Sports.
All Balls, All Sports. Presented by Bet Online, your online sportsbook expert.
All right. Megyn Kelly is waiting in the wings for a very revealing interview. We'll take ourselves a quick break and we'll come back and talk to the Megyn Kelly right after this.
Hey, movie lovers, who needs a theater when you have Pluto TV? Grab your popcorn and your streaming device because free movies are here. Pluto TV is your home for movies. Great movies are playing anytime in over 20 exclusive movie channels of action, horror, rom-coms, and more. Watch hits like Saving Private Ryan, Pretty in Pink, and Charlie's Angels all for free. No signups, no fees, no contracts. Ever. Download the free Pluto TV app on any device.